Peace is a theme of the holiday season. On Christmas Eve, the world's Christians celebrate the birth of a child whom they call the Prince of Peace. On Tuesdays this month, NPR's special correspondent Susan Stamberg has been talking about peace from various perspectives. She continues her series with a man whose career was spent in the armed forces.
34 years in the Army. Major General William Nash was a platoon leader in Vietnam, an armored brigade commander in Operation Desert Storm. He served as a military commander in Bosnia and as a civilian administrator for the UN in Kosovo. Retired now, General Nash is director of the Council on Foreign Relations Center for Preventive Action and completely comfortable with the question, how can war, which brings death and destruction, be a means to peace?
Our very first president, George Washington, said, to have peace, you must be prepared for war. And that's the basic philosophical approach that our nation has taken in the last half of the 20th century. And for the most part, it seems to have worked. But when you have to be employed, like World War II or Korea or Vietnam, there's nothing peaceful about it. Mm-hmm. It's a terrible, horrific experience. And it brings great harm to not only the combatants, but all too often to those who are in the region of fighting.
And about the grunt soldiers now. Let's talk about them.
Okay. You never go wrong if you talk about the soldier.
Is it difficult for them to live with the notion of violence in the name of peace?
I think that for the most part, there's an understanding that their commitment to the nation is to fight and win the nation's wars, to achieve a peace or to achieve the objectives. That is not always self-evident at the time you're going through the experience of fighting. And there have been many cases where people have been deeply bothered by their acts during times of conflict. And I have spent time both as a lieutenant in Vietnam and as a colonel in Desert Storm, where you have to talk to folks and try to calm their agony, if you will, over the violent actions that they've been witness to and have participated
in. And also, often the legacy of that goes on for decades afterwards.
It does, and of course, because of the turmoil over why we were fighting in Vietnam, many of those who experienced the violence have had a great difficulty in rationalizing their behavior, the nation's behavior, and this whole cataclysmic event that they were caught up in.
It occurs to me to wonder whether there's anyone who wants peace more than soldiers.
For anyone who has experienced war, I can certainly tell you that it's not an activity you seek. It is a horrible thing to have your friends hurt, and to bring destruction to the civilized nation that we are is not one that we seek.
We asked you here to talk about peace. We keep talking about war. What's your take on peace movements? Peace movement during Vietnam created tremendous hardships for the military. It also played an enormous part in bringing that war to an end.
Well,
these days, the voices may be fewer voices. Yet there are those at the moment who feel that the path that we are on toward war is a tremendous mistake.
It's a difficult issue, and I will tell you, as one who was serving in Vietnam, I was deeply resentful. And of course, the many questions the nation has about Vietnam now causes me to question the firmness of my own views back then, and causes one to be a little bit more humble today as you try to decide what is right and what is wrong in the pursuit of the nation's issues. I guess from the military perspective, it's very hard to endorse the anti-war movement as you're going off to serve your country. At the same time, I can't think of an alternative. Because, in fact, in our society, in our democratic society, as we even said during the Vietnam War, I'm willing to fight so you can demonstrate for us not to fight.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, protecting the democratic values and practices of our nation. Today, as I look at what's happening, I think the process of getting the many issues about going to war on the table and rightfully debated vigorously is the best thing for the nation. So I don't have a problem with it today like I once did.
How interesting. How interesting. What is that? What did that to you?
Maybe because in a retired status, I'm not as personally affected, and I can look at it from a more detached view.
Mm-hmm. Looking back on your years in service in Vietnam, in Desert Storm, in Bosnia, in Kosovo, what does the idea of a just war mean to you?
Well, that's a difficult issue, and you spend a lot of time as you grow in rank in the military in thinking about that and addressing it. I think it must be seen as achieving a greater good for a greater number of people. And the manner in which you conduct operations, how you fight, how you take specific efforts to limit the damage and the destruction and the killing also reflects upon the justness of your actions in the first place.
And what does a just war mean for peace?
Well, I think by virtue of a just war and the fact that the political objective is more than destruction, but that is in fact building a better situation than existed before. The measure of our success in Afghanistan will come for building a better Afghanistan. It's much more than killing or capturing terrorists. It's making the world and the situation that are the sources of this terrorism a better place for us all to live.
Major General William Nash, U.S. Army retired. These days, General Nash runs the Center for Preventive Action, part of the Council on Foreign Relations. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
Next Tuesday, the series continues with teenagers who grew up in Bosnia and Sudan, two of the most embattled places in the world. Later next week, Archbishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa offers his wishes for peace for 2003.